Father, this morning we thank you from the depths of our hearts that we are here and that we know your precious Son. We've truly learned to trust in you and your word. We pray that you'll grip hearts and lives, men and women that are uncertain, who don't know the way, who are not sure of the way, who have lost the vision of the coming of the Lord. Whatever the need may be, we pray that Christ will become so real that they'll want him today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you come here, this assembly very long, there will be some things that I'll touch on this morning that I have before, but I want to read something that I read just this past week. It said, thankfulness is our crowning glory. The soul untouched by this emotion is without the quickening power which marks the difference between life and death. We must bring the fruitage of a happy, grateful soul to the throne of God, or else we come before him empty-handed. If we come not with smiles of grateful appreciation, we walk in darkness. If we carry no share of another's burden, we may still be weighed with a crushing load. If we lend no hand to a fellow wayfarer, we grope in vain for the fellowship. If we step not aside to give a firmer footing to a fallen brother, we fetter our own feet. In the 23rd Psalm, there is a statement that has so many times thrilled my heart. The fifth verse, a portion of this verse says, my cup runneth over. Again in the 33rd Psalm and verse 5, a portion of that verse says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, as you read, you'll become aware that the psalmist became deeply, deeply grateful, and his heart overflowed with thanksgiving for the goodness of God to his life. And in his day and his time, there had never been set aside a special time like there has here in America for Thanksgiving. Now I hope and I trust God that you are not once a year participators in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something that should come constantly from the heart of anyone that knows God. And yet we're coming up to a season and a time that we know as Thanksgiving. And as I think of it, it stirs the springs and the strings of my own heart. I think of all the people to be grateful and to praise the Lord. I should be that person. But knowing what I know of the Bible, I realize that God's greatest desire is that you and I have a heart of appreciation and thankfulness for him. You see, you could come with all the jewels and all of the gold and all of the silver and all of the material wealth of this world, lay it at God's feet, and you haven't given him a thing. You see, that all belongs to him. He created it. It's his. You can't give God anything that isn't his. unless in giving that it inspires a gratefulness and is because of a gratefulness in your own heart, and it might help someone else to be grateful for God that works their way in your life. You see, dear hearts, I am more and more aware how unthankful not only America is and the world is, but how ungrateful and how unthankful God's own precious people are. This is a sad thing, a tragic thing. This is what God wants from you and me. Nothing else. And the highest throne in the glory world to come will be occupied by men and women who have learned to give God the glory for their lives. I hear them around the throne, and they sing and speak His praises forever and ever. And the highest thrones over there, the occupants, fall down and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And so we trust that we'll enable you this morning to begin to give Him the praise in your life that He deserves. If I can make you aware of that which He has and is willing to put in your cup, I don't think anyone here would be so ungrateful as not to say with the psalmist again, when he said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You see, somehow when you're owned properly and you begin to praise God yourself, then you look around and you begin to want to bring others into that great symphony of praise that will one day be like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thundering. Anyone who doesn't have a thankful heart to God, regardless of all else that he or she may have, is pitifully poor. Now, if I make you aware of that which He has given to you, surely we can get you to come along with what I'm saying. Anyone who doesn't have a thankful heart is in a terrible condition. Now, we live in a time of complaints. Everywhere folk complain, they murmur, they grumble, and God is usually cursed instead of praised. And as I say, the Christian, like Israel, so forgetful of the God who makes him or her everything. See if there's any reason for you to be thankful that are here this morning. First, let's compare man with other creatures, and I'll move with this as rapidly as I can. You see, in spite of man bringing creation under a curse, there is still a sound of worship out there in the creation. How often I've gone out, and you will too if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, go out on a summer day, and it seems that everywhere there is a praise going up from God's creatures. Now, the frog does it in his way. The crow does it in his way. The mockingbird does it in his way. The cricket does it in his way. But all of them have a voice and have breath. And the day is going to come when everything that has breath will praise the Lord. The cricket can't help it. that he gets off and rubs his legs and keeps you awake in the night. He can't help that. That's his nature. And one day, that will give glory to God. You see, it isn't his fault that he's under the curse at this time. It's man's fault. But in the 104th Psalm, I've read this psalm so often, and it's such a majestic psalm, and it describes God's creating. And I thought of it yesterday as I was thinking of how I used to see my mother come into the kitchen and spread a cloth on the table and then began to bring the food to the table and to our hungry appetites. And so it is in this case. You see in this psalm, God is stretching out the heavens like a curtain. And he's putting the beams of his chambers in the waters. He walks on the wings of the wind. He lays the foundations of the earth. He governs it, or covers it with the deep as a garment. He sets boundaries. He heaves up the mountains. He cleaves the valleys. He pours out the fountains and the rivers. He gives every creature his own particular food. He gives him drink. He gives him shelter. It says there, and I was a little amused, he said, he gave wine which made the heart of man merry. And someone said the devil made wine. I want you to realize that there you'll hear, as you go out on a summer day, you'll hear the feathered and the hooved and the pawed and the scaled and the creeping and the flying. And every one of them are bundles of joy to the Lord, as they say together in a language that you may not understand, but I understand it. They say the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And it is. And yet, in that creation, the king over all of the creation is man, fearfully and wonderfully made. Earth his origin, heaven or hell his destiny. And there in your body is a factory of life that is a wonder. It so mysteriously and quietly performs its functions that only God himself knows the true value and the property that it really is. Over the centuries, now you and I know we live in a day when we become a little more aware of how man is compiling and bringing together and making new discoveries about this castle of life that is ours. But man has found that there are 208 bones that make the frame. There are over 14,000 muscles stretched over this frame. There are over 100,000 glands that operate in this body to keep it healthy. There are over 200 million pores that work to keep you healthy. You have a heart that beats some 4,000 times an hour. It pumps over 250 pounds of blood a minute. There are enough blood vessels and enough nerves in your body to more than reach around this earth. You have chemical systems, heating and cooling systems, pendles, spindles, cords, belts, wheels, pumps, filters. I'll tell you, you can't find anything as magnificent as the human body in all this world. And God gave you one of them. He didn't charge you a penny for it. Oh, it's so delicate and so elaborate and so exquisite, so graceful. Do you realize you have a voice that's capable of making over 17 trillion different sounds? You have a hand that's capable of making over 5 million different movements. What would you give if you didn't have a hand? For one. What would you give for a heart if you didn't have one? I saw that Frenchman who sold all he had, put it in money, came to the West Coast recently and tried to give it all to those surgeons to give him a new heart. They said his old one would have to get a little worse before they could do that. And so they would not operate. Oh, truly, the devil said, yea, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. You see, you have a brain. Oh, such an instrument. Do you realize that your brain can file away things that took place? I remember my precious old mother at 92. She could reach into that brain and pull things out that happened when she was 3 years old like it was yesterday. What a marvel is the human body. Surely, if this is all I had, I would be able to say my cup runneth over. And it would be running over. But now, precious heart, if you just had that, if you just had your body, and you lived a slave-like existence day and night, and you were digging your living out of the earth by the sweat of your brow, then you would have something to be thankful for, would you not? But let's look a little deeper. Let's think of how this day that we're going to celebrate, Lord willing, Thursday, came to be. 3.5 centuries ago, on the New England shore, there was a little decimated band of pilgrims who sat down to a modest meal with their Indian friends to give thanks to God. 13 years before this time, this day, 35 of these had fled from England to Holland because they wanted to worship God according to the dictates of their hearts. There they were come to be called the Separatists. And they were able, while there, to find backers who outfitted 2 ships. One of them failed, but 102 got on the other one, called the Mayflower. With their meager possessions, they sailed toward America. 2 months later, they went ashore on the New England coast. And there, kneeling down, with tears streaming down their faces, they thanked God that at last they had found a place that they could thank Him without being martyred for it. Their first winter, they buried almost half their number on Coles Hill. I've been there several times. They buried them in the night and then smoothed the ground over, lest the Indians would know how much they were decimated. The next summer they planted and cultivated 20 acres of Indian corn, 6 acres of barley and peas. Then, with the nuts they had gathered, the berries that they had gathered, the animals they'd killed, the fish that they had caught and salted away, and the birds that they had smoked as the Indians had taught them, they brought them out and proclaimed the first Thanksgiving. Now, I've seen the replicas of their homes, Brother and Sister Davis, set over here. They have seen them, no doubt, many times up and down the East Coast. I've seen the replicas of their homes, their funny-looking clothing, the shabby furnishings of those little old hut-like dwellings that did little more than break the wind. And yet, there never were homes that were more filled with the light of gratefulness than those homes. For one reason, they understood God not as much as we are privileged to know Him here, but in spite of environment, in spite of the fact that hostile Indians were all about them, in spite of the fact that they had to deprive themselves of many, many things that you and I have here today, they were thankful to God that they could worship Him after the dictates of their own hearts. They must have cried repeatedly with tears running down their cheeks, "My cup runneth over." They must have said, "Oh, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Now, precious hearts, we here in America are coming to Thursday. And from California to Maine, and from border to border, from ocean to ocean, from border to the Gulf, America is going to spread the richest, the most exotic, the most lavish feast that this world has ever seen this coming Thursday. The world will never see or has never seen a banquet table like the one that will be spread over America. The tables will all but groan with the weight of every sort of food to whet the appetite. The drinks. And oh, when we think of the homes that we'll sit down in, the modern conveniences that will be our friendly servants, we think of the men and the women that will sit down clothed in the finest of clothing. Some of us with enough jewelry hanging on us that we could have bought and sold the whole pilgrim colony, financially speaking. Our fine cars, our many luxuries, they simply beg for description. And yet, at best, as we sit down this Thursday, there will be a meager few who will give God the thanks that He wants and deserves. My cup runneth over. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness to the children of men. Now, if this is all we have, you see, dear hearts, it's like this. A wolf will stay a wolf. He may change his den, but it'll always be a den. The bird will stay a bird. He may change his nest, but it will always be made just like the other nest. I don't know whether Melody and Prudent got in this morning or not. But Melody told me she went home with Prudent to Pakistan.
They got up there, way up in the backside of that place. The people, his relatives, gave them the very best they had. But she said, "Oh, Brother Hill, how poor. How terribly poor." Pruden told me, he said, "Brother Hill, if I'd have stayed in Pakistan, I was born wrong. I'd have stayed no matter about my brains, my intelligence, my abilities." He said, "I couldn't possibly have gotten out of that serf class." We were talking about how some people wanted to overthrow America. He said, "Thank God, where else in the world could a man with my color skin, with my birth, my background come and drive a Cadillac and live in the beautiful home I live and head up the wholesale business that I head up today?" You see, God put something in you that he didn't put in the wolf. Here sat Bob and J.D., just the poorest of little poor boys. Here's my son-in-law, the poorest of the little poor boys. I remember him telling about the Christmas present that his older brother, who has gone into eternity, brought him for Christmas, a little car with three wheels on it. So they told him Santa Claus broke the other wheel off coming down the chimney. And in his little child mind, he said, well, he was just a little bit unhappy with Santa Claus for doing his car that way. But you see, he didn't have to stay that way. God had put something in him. The association of thought, of memory, perception. God put something in a man and he don't have to stay poor. You may be black, you may be white, you may be poor, as poor as the poorest. But you see, God has given you something besides just a marvelous body. Food to put in it and drink to put in it and clothing to put on it and a house to put around it. You can get up from the poverty and you can just about make of yourself what you're determined to do. Our president was a poor boy. His father wasn't a rich man. His wife was a very poor girl. You see what can be done. But I say all of this and I have yet to tell of the wonder of wonders. When I think of the cup and why we should be thankful. Quickly, let's look just once more into the cup. You see, the best is to be described. With such wonderful bodies, homes, food, clothing, and the means that we have. He has also put eternity in our hearts and the means to be like him. God has given us a soul. I may be black, I may be white, I may be poor, I may be rich. I may have some advantage or some disadvantage educationally, socially, or otherwise, but there's one way every one of us are exactly alike. We're made in an image of God. We have a soul. Jesus Christ can come into any soul. And he never investigates to see how much money you have in your pocket. Why, he knows the hair on your head. Why would he be concerned about the few dimes that you think you have? Here he is. Thank God. This man, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, God comes to him with the gospel of his son. And he invites us to go to heaven above and depart from hell beneath. You see, precious hearts, we can be like Him. We can be born again. We can be born of God. We can receive eternal life. We can have His own righteousness. We can have His own life. We can have His own holiness. We can have His own abilities. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You don't have to go anywhere for help but to the Lord. Thank God, that's one of the things I've learned. I'm not the type of man that could have put this building up. This building was appraised recently to be worth between $425,000 and $450,000. That shakes some of you. You know how many times we begged to get that? Well, we got the first time to come. People think it's paid for. Well, it is in the thought of God. If I had to get up here and start begging to pay for this building, I'd say, get you another pastor. I'm just not built that way. I've learned that I can trust God. Oh, how sweet it is. You may fail me, but He won't fail me. You may not support me, but He will support me. Thank God! Oh, my cup runneth over! I wish I could make you know God like that. Every one of you. The word precious is used in the Bible, meaning something extremely valuable and priceless. It's translated in the Bible, valuable, costly, honored, esteemed, and beloved. And in 1 Peter 2:7, we read, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Here, the word finds the sweetest meaning that it could ever know. Now your companion may be precious to you. Your children may be precious to you. Your parents, your relatives may be precious to you. You may have a brother or a sister or a grandchild that's so precious to you. You may have a home that you sort of hold in the thought of precious. Jewels are called precious stones. You have a car that you may class as something precious, a fur or something of that nature. But now you look at them and look at them strong, look at them quick. You may not have them 5 minutes from now. When you look at them, you say, well, I just will tell you goodbye now, because I'm going to tell you goodbye. You see, nothing is as precious as the Lord. You have Him forever. If you're born again, you're going to be with Him forever. Now, we are the sons of God. Right now, we're getting ready for there. Oh, precious hearts, if you should suddenly be taken out of this life and swept into His presence, would you be ready to rejoice as He wants you to rejoice? You're going to have to be doing it here. You're going to have to learn to praise Him here. You're going to have to appreciate Him here. You're not going to be able to appreciate Him over there for things that you didn't appreciate Him here for. Oh, precious hearts, Christ, how could you evaluate Him? He's the sum and the substance of everything. Paul said, Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I ask you, are you treating him fairly? Are you giving him the praise and the glory that he deserves? Do you appreciate him? Do you honor him? Is he given the first place in your life? Do you put him and his cause above everything? If you don't, you're making a mistake. You owe him everything. You owe him everything. I know of people. I know of saints that can turn around and give to the poor and to their poor relatives and things like that and rob God consistently and think they're giving it to God. Oh, you say, like my little boy, he don't need any money. He's rich. No, he don't need any money. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to appreciate him. He wants you to take part in this grand and glorious campaign that's going to put him on the throne. Is your cup running over? Can you say it with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? Is it hard for you to get it out? Praise the Lord. I know people that'll just balk like an old mule if you try to get them to praise the Lord. But I'm deeply aware that you can't get anything out of the well that isn't there. I told the folk the other night, I read of that fellow that got rich quick. Just an old farmer of some kind. And his wife took off and went to the seashore. She got out in the surf, was overcome. They dragged her in. She was full of water. Lifeguard said, let's give her artificial respiration. And the old boy said, give her the real thing. I can pay for it. How some people get to feeling. That's what they think about the church. It don't need artificial respiration. It needs the real thing. You don't need anything artificial. You need the real thing. You can have the real thing. Jesus Christ can give you the real thing. He's rich unto all them that call upon him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness to the children of men. I say the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I can see it. I am aware of it. And by his grace may my life redound to his glory. Let's pray. Am I right? Thank you. His hands go up. If you need prayer, raise that hand. God love you. On my left. Oh, yes. Father in heaven, how grateful we are. We want to see everybody give you the praise and the glory that is due your name. Somehow string the harp of our hearts. Tune it to heaven. Give us that praise and worship that will honor you and glorify you. Lord, some of us have kind of got laid off on a shelf. And the music has departed from us. Help us to come back. Others, Lord, that have never had their hearts tuned. We pray that this day you'll bring them into harmony with thyself and with the program that is about to dawn upon this old world. And above and beyond everything, at this season and time of the year,
May every home and every life represented here, if Jesus tarries till that Thanksgiving comes, while we may not have any more than those pilgrims had back there materially, we may think that life has given us a bum deal, but oh God, in spite of it all, we can have the God who makes hearts glad in any situation, and we can be grateful and thankful, even as the Apostle Paul was in that Roman prison. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.